All right, John chapter 4, John chapter 4. And a great reminder, the Lord's always good, isn't He? And we could share testimony after testimony this morning about that. John chapter 4, I'm going to read one verse. And the title of my message this morning is A Renewed Desire. A Renewed Desire. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." A renewed desire. Have you ever found yourself, or maybe you found yourself right this very moment, with a desire to reach souls dwindling? Maybe you can go back in a time in your life when you remember the fire that you had to reach souls. The desire was there. You just loved seeing people come to know Christ. And I don't think any Christian ever plans on getting to the place in their life where they just become lazy in soul winning, or maybe they come to the point where they just don't desire. I don't believe that's any Christian's plan. But things take place in time, over time, and as you find yourself in that situation maybe, or maybe you know someone who is there, a renewed desire is what we all need. There are times when I go through things and I say, you know what, I need a renewed desire to reach souls. I need a renewed desire to see people come to know Christ. I need a renewed desire just as much as anyone else. And the Bible says one more time, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." I got to the opportunity to research a little bit over the past weekend. And I was researching the statistics in Clarksville, and just over the last couple of days, I've been able to research some of these things. And in Clarksville specifically, and in Montgomery County, there is an updated website. And in Montgomery County, there is 195,000 people. And that's wonderful. Now, specifically in that 195,000 people, out of that 195,000 people, and it's a little bit more than 195,000, but I'm just rounding here, there's about 150,000 that live specifically in Clarksville, Tennessee. Now, there's a great, great need. There's a great door that has been opened. Well, I continued looking up some of the statistics, and many people, you know, you live in the South, and so when you knock on a door, you know, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to find someone who says that they're religious. Well, the thing about being religious is that being religious does not mean that you are a Christian, that you're on your way to heaven. There are many people that I know who are religious, but they're not saved. Going to church once in a while does not mean that you're saved. Going to church at all does not mean you're saved. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior means that you're saved, that you're going to heaven, that you're headed that way. And so I looked up the statistic of how many people claim to be religious in the state of Tennessee. And a number that shocked me, but it didn't at the same time. 49.8% of people claim to be religious in the state of Tennessee. That's a huge number. That's a high number. And so, as I was studying these statistics out and just looking at them, Matthew chapter 28 come to mind. If you would, go with me there for just a moment. Matthew chapter 28, you know the familiar verse. You know where we're going here. But the Bible is very clear. When we look at Matthew chapter 28, the Bible says in verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Then you find yourself in John chapter 4, once again, in verse 35, the Bible says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." There's a great need. There's not only a great need in Clarksville, Tennessee, but there's a great need all across this world for souls to be saved. There are laborers that are needed. There are people that are being called. There are faithful servants that are doing a great work. But there's always a time in our lives when we need that renewed desire to continue. We need that renewed desire to move forward and continue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I came across this quote, and I love the wording of this quote. It says, "When we lose our perspective on the lost world around us, we lose the very purpose for the local church, sharing the gospel." sharing the gospel. This must be a priority in our lives because it will motivate us to continue sharing, and that passion will consume us. And so this morning I want to share a couple of things with you that I have been praying about myself as we get that renewed desire to reach souls. As we get that renewed desire to just share the gospel. Listen, and there's always someone that needs the gospel. There's always someone. Listen, whenever I find myself, there are times when I struggle. When I talk to my father, there are times when I struggle because the fight to share the gospel and to be comfortable with him is just, there's a battle there. But he needs to hear the gospel time and time again. Listen, he may respond every single time and say he's not ready, but I'm going to continue sharing the gospel because he needs to be saved. And so a renewed desire needs to be rekindled in our hearts. The Bible says in verse 35 at the end there, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." You ever notice that whenever you look at certain things, it affects your heart? The message here is very simply this: lift up your eyes and look. When you find yourself being told about something and you find yourself, I've heard many people share testimonies when they go on a mission trip and they may be going to an area of the world who's never heard the gospel. And they just have people all around them. They say, as soon as we see it, it affects our hearts. Well, listen, when you find yourself knocking on doors, and you find yourself knocking on doors and sharing the gospel, and you find yourself sharing with your family or sharing with your friends or just sharing the gospel in Clarksville, Tennessee, as soon as you lift up your eyes and look, you'll see a soul. And when you acknowledge that that person has a soul, you'll acknowledge that person's going to be spending eternity either in heaven or in hell. Because that's the only two places. You'll either be spending eternity in heaven or in hell. And so we have the opportunity to share that gospel, renewed desire. Lord, we do thank you for this morning. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity that we have to share the gospel. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity that we have to carry a Bible, to read a Bible, to understand a Bible. We thank you for a church. We thank you for Sunday school hour. We thank you for servants. We thank you for faithful laborers. Lord, I pray that you would help us all. Lord, we all need a rekindling desire every once in a while. Lord, we need to renew that desire to serve you, that desire to share the gospel. I pray that you would, Lord. Lord, ignite a fire in our hearts. Lord, bring us to tears for souls. Lord, bring us to our knees as we beg and plead that you would continue to save lives. Lord, I pray that you would bring us to a place in our lives this morning where we all have tears shedding over one lost soul. Lord, I pray that you would bring us to a place in our lives where we desire to see someone get saved. Lord, that where we see that one person get saved and we continue. Lord, I pray that you would be with myself, empty me of self, empty me of sin. Lord, and fill me with your spirit. Well, thank you for that. Lord, once again, I pray that you would be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done. Well, thank you for it. In the Lord's name, amen. A renewed desire. I grew up in a Christian home, in a sense. My parents got divorced at a young age. I believe I was only 4 or 5. I can't ever really remember the exact age. I just know that I was young. And coming from a divorce situation, my mom met my stepfather. They ended up getting married, and that's when church began for me. I would go to church, and I remember it would be in Awana class. I'd be in Sunday school class. I would say verses so that I would get candy. I remember doing all of those things. I remember going to church and playing games. I remember all of that. It wasn't until whenever I was in junior high that I acknowledged that I didn't know, or in high school, that I acknowledged that I didn't know if I was saved. I asked my parents one evening, I said, have I ever gotten saved? And they said, yes, you asked the Lord to save you when you were 8 years old. We were sitting in the living room. And I said, okay. So I took that and I just started believing that. And after a while, once you tell yourself something for a while, you yourself start to believe it. But deep inside, as I kept telling myself, hey, I did this when I was 8, I just didn't believe it. The Holy Spirit was working in my life, and so I was heading to teen camp. I was, in a sense, a leader in the youth group. I was one of the older ones. I was one that didn't really cause any trouble, didn't do anything that I shouldn't have. The Lord had already been working in my heart and put the right kind of people in my life to influence, so I would start doing what was right. But let me say this real quick. Just because you're doing right does not mean you're saved. And it wasn't until I went to teen camp, and I had fought this for the longest time. My brother-in-law now had recently had gotten saved, I guess, a year before that. And I just saw a change in his life. He was never a bad kid. He was never a bad person. But when the Lord dwells in you, you can just tell a difference. And so the Lord was working in my life and went to teen camp, Camp Chautauqua in Ohio. Pastor Jerry Seiler's church put that church camp on. And Brother Kenny Baldwin was preaching that week. And I remember him preaching, and I loved hearing Kenny Baldwin preach. If you've heard Kenny Baldwin preach, then you just know you're going to hear something that's biblical, but you're going to hear something that is just going to convict you and help you to become the Christian you need to be. And I was sitting in that service, and he started the service out. I remember sitting, I was on the end row. I was sitting right there in that second seat to the aisle, and Brother Kenny Baldwin was over here. I remember him preaching, and he had just started. And he made a statement as I'm sitting there and I'm in tune, I'm listening. And he makes a statement, not even preaching a salvation message, but he's getting on to the teenagers and talking about pride and talking about the friendships and talking about getting things right. And he says, one statement that changed my life. He said, I'd rather go through the motions of being saved twice than the reality of going to hell once. I'm sitting right there in that seat and I hear that and it pierces. He said, if the Lord comes back right now, And I'm sitting there, and the entire service, you know, when you're nervous, you're scared, you're fidgety, your hands are you're cold, you just start sweating, you just can't handle it. I was hoping he would end short that night, and he just kept preaching. As soon as the invitation was given, I went and grabbed Kelly's pawpaw. I said, I need to get saved. And I remember that being one of the hardest things, not getting saved, but having to call my parents. Having to tell certain people, and it was still pride that was dealing with me. But I didn't care. I was excited. I called my parents. I said, hey, talking to my stepdad, I said, hey, I just got saved tonight. He said, what? I said, yeah, I got saved tonight. He said, I thought you... I said, no. I said, I know y'all told me that, but I wasn't. I just know I wasn't. And I got it settled tonight. I remember that night like it was yesterday. It was a wide open gym. I could take you to it. It's just a gym, but they had pews and they had different things set up. I could take you and point you to the exact spot. I came back from camp and I got involved in soul winning. I got involved with going with my youth director and sharing the gospel. I remember I had never shared the gospel before and we knocked on a door. It was one of those situations where you're a new Christian. You're just excited about telling people about the Lord. And the man was a Christian. He started asking a bunch of questions that I didn't know. I said, well, I've got a lot of studying to do. I've got to learn how to lead people to Christ. My youth director had helped me to do that, and there was just a desire there. I mean, the desire was there. I remember it. I remember wanting to share the gospel. I remember wanting to tell people. I remember calling one of my good friends in Indiana. I was in Columbus, Georgia at the time. Columbus, Indiana had some of my friends. I remember calling one of them, and I said, listen, are you saved? He said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And I shared the gospel. After a couple of weeks, my good friend in Indiana accepted Christ as her personal Savior. And it was just a feeling like none other. I began talking to my dad, and my dad and I disagreed on so much at that point, and we started arguing, and I realized that I wasn't being compassionate about what I was trying to share with him. As time went on, that desire to share the gospel just kind of dwindled. Things got in the way. I was at college, and a message was preached, and that desire started to rekindle again. I remember going in Bible club, and we would go to Bible club, and that desire was starting to be rekindled, and we would have over 200 kids sitting in a Bible club, and I would get the opportunity to share the gospel. I remember one of the very first times that we had that opportunity, and five kids accepted Christ as their personal Savior. It ignites your heart. I mean, it just fires you up. This morning, I want to preach the message entitled, A Renewed Desire. When you find yourself in that place, maybe you're there right now where you just struggle sharing the gospel, not because you don't want to, but the desire that might not be there. The desire might be there, but you just can't bring yourself to do it. Four areas that must change in our lives when we find ourselves to that point. Number one, you must have a sense of urgency. You must have a sense of urgency. There must be a sense of urgency that, hey, someone needs the gospel. There must be a sense of urgency that says, hey, I don't think that person's saved, so I'm going to share the gospel. And if they are saved, they'll tell me, hey, I'm saved. And you'll be able to share that gospel with each other. You'll be able to review that gospel. You'll be able to look back and talk about those glorious days. But the Bible says in verse 35 of chapter 4 of John, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. That we must look, and when we find ourselves looking, we find ourselves lifting up our eyes and looking, we see that it will affect our hearts, and there will be a sense of urgency. If you were to study out the life of Jeremiah, Jeremiah wept over those days and those people who delayed responding to God's message. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, the Bible says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. He began weeping. It affected his life. It affected his heart. He couldn't imagine. There was a sense of urgency about him. The urgency that we find in our lives, that urgency that you get, will move you and motivate you to share the gospel because of the passion you have to be faithful to Him. You see, when that gospel, when you look back and you remember that day when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, there should be a sense of urgency that says, I've got to share it. I've got to share it with someone. I remember hearing a message one time, and a man was telling a story of going out and knocking on doors, and he was knocking on doors with an elderly man who had cancer. The man had cancer, and the preacher and him were knocking on doors. And this man who had cancer was a missionary for a while. And he looked over to the preacher. And with tears in his eyes, he began weeping and said, you know, this part of the country is one of the most, the least evangelized areas in the world. With tears in his eyes, a man with cancer knocking on doors, and he said, I've just got to continue sharing. I've just got to continue sharing it. I love this quote by Spurgeon. Spurgeon said, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap into hell over our bodies. And if they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let no one go unwarned, and let no one go unprayed for. There must be a sense of urgency. If you were to study out the life of Daniel, you'll see so much urgency in his life. There are some things as I was studying his life out, concerning what he was doing. When you look at the life of Daniel, you see that this urgent matter in his life caused him to be a man of prayer. You see, when you find yourself weeping over souls and you find yourself desiring to share the gospel and desiring to reach people, it'll draw you to your knees. It'll point you to your knees because you just can't handle the comprehension of anyone walking past you and never once hearing the gospel. You just can't comprehend the fact that someone that you know, a family member, a friend, a church member, whatever the case might be, going to hell. There's just a sense of urgency about it. It'll draw you to a place where you just become a person of prayer. It'll draw you to a place where, as Daniel, he had great courage. He wasn't afraid to share. He had great faith. He just knew God was going to work. And he was always persistent. He knew he had a job to do. As Christians, it'll point us to a place in our lives where we get on our knees and we begin to pray. Lord, get a hold of this person. Lord, bring tears to my eyes. Lord, get a hold of this person's heart. Lord, get a hold of my heart. Lord, give me the desire to share the gospel. Lord, put me in people's lives where I can share the gospel. And when you find yourself in that place in your life, it'll give you great courage to share the gospel because it changed your life. And you know it can change theirs. And when you find yourself having that great courage, it'll point you to a place in your life where you have great faith that that God that saved you can save that person you're wanting to share the gospel with. And you'll be persistent about it because you know tomorrow's not promised. Every single day, there are people that are going to hell. Some that have never once heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have a job to do. Here in Clarksville, Tennessee, and in Montgomery County, there's almost 200,000 people just around us. Some of them have never heard. Some of them need to hear the gospel again. They're waiting. And there needs to be a sense of urgency in all of our lives. Number two, there needs to be a seriousness about eternity. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, at the end of this verse, who loved me and gave himself for me. That right there should move you to action. That right there should move me to action to the point where I just can't help but share the gospel. It should come up. It should be boiling over. It should ignite our hearts. It should ignite our souls. Go with me to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. When you understand the seriousness about eternity, you'll understand that there's a place called hell and there's a place called heaven, and you're going to one or the other. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See, that's serious. It's very serious. And there are 150,000 people in Clarksville, Tennessee, 194,000 going on 200,000 in Montgomery County. There are so many people in this world who just need someone to have a sense of urgency, need someone to have a seriousness about eternity and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go with me to 1 Peter. Go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter 3. Or chapter 1, I'm sorry. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." What a great salvation we have. But there are others in this world who don't have that salvation. I remember someone telling me a quote or making a statement to me one time when I was talking about them about my father. I was talking to them about my father and I said, "I'm just nervous to share the gospel with him. I don't want to ruin the relationship." He said, "You're being too sensitive." I said, "I don't think I am." I said, I'm scared that I'll ruin the relationship and won't be able to share the gospel with him. He said, "Let me share this with you." He said, "I don't want you to not be sensitive. I want you to share the gospel." He said, but sometimes being too sensitive will send that person to hell. And it wasn't until a couple weeks later that he had made that statement that I started to understand what he was saying. And he wasn't saying don't share the gospel. He wasn't saying being hardcore about sharing the gospel. He is very simply just saying, share the truth. Very simply, share the truth and don't be ashamed to share the truth. Let that person know that you love that person, that you want them to be saved. Let the people that you knock on the door, let them know that you care for them because they're a soul. Let that person know that, hey, you're going to hell or you're going to heaven and you have to make that decision. Don't be too sensitive, because when you find yourself being too sensitive and that person rejects it the very first time and you say, "Okay, well, I tried," but you're being too sensitive, that being sensitive will send them to hell because they may not ever hear it again. Let that person know that you love them, that you care about them, that you want them to accept Christ as their personal Savior. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 35, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." There's a place. There are so many people out there. You can't walk past, you can't walk into a crowd and not see someone who's not saved. There are people that need the gospel every single day. You must have a sense of urgency. You have to have a seriousness. I want to explain this, and this is something that the Lord has put on my heart. When I remember eternity, it motivates me to action. And when I remember eternity and it motivates me to action, I have to do three things. I have to either go. I have to go. I have to share the gospel. If there's a time in my life where I can't go, then I have to give. I've got to give to missions. I've got to give to the church so the church can continue to do the work. I've got to continue to pray, though. You see, every single Christian can pray. Every single one of us has the opportunity. Not all of us have the opportunity to go. Maybe health reasons. Maybe conflict of schedule. Sometimes we're not able to go. We're not able to share. Some of us might not be able to give financially. But every single one of us can pray. And notice with me what the Bible says. In verse 35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." The third thing is very simply this. Search and pray for laborers. Search and pray for laborers. When you find yourself maybe going, maybe you find yourself giving, maybe you find yourself praying, you'll find yourself searching your own heart. "Lord, are you calling me to go? Lord, are you speaking to my heart to go and share the gospel with this person? Lord, are you dealing with me to go and do this work?" If he's not, if he's just having you to pray, you'll begin praying for laborers. Go with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, the Bible says this in verse 37 and 38. "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." In verse 38, one more time, he says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I asked this question. You might have saw it on Facebook last evening. But I asked this question. Has his prayer request hit your prayer list yet? You see, in this portion of Scripture, and in chapter 9, verse 38, the Bible says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Has his prayer request hit your prayer list? Have you found yourself praying for souls to be saved? Have you found yourself praying for people to go? Have you found yourself praying for the missionaries that are already doing that? Have you found yourself praying for the times when Gateway Baptist Church has the opportunity to go out and knock doors? Have you found yourself doing whatever the Lord has called you to do? Have you found yourself doing it? Has his prayer request hit your prayer list? You must search your heart as I search my heart. And together we must pray for laborers. Pray for laborers. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Finally, we see this. If you're struggling right now to search and pray for laborers, maybe you're struggling right now to have that sense of urgency. Maybe right now you're struggling to have the seriousness about eternity, and you just are saying, "I just don't know what to do." Look with me in Matthew chapter 9 one more time. In Matthew chapter 9, we see an example of the Lord. The Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd." You see, in verse 36 here, the Bible says, "But when he saw." When he saw, his eyes were affected. His heart was affected. And he was moved into action. He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. If you're struggling with that sense of urgency, you're struggling with that seriousness about eternity, if you're struggling with that opportunity to search your heart and pray for laborers, then I encourage you as much as I encourage myself, seek Christ's compassion. When he saw, his heart was affected. The Bible says in verse 35 of John chapter 4, one more time, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." The command is being given there because he knows as you look, your heart's going to be affected. And when your heart's affected, you're going to move into action because of the compassion that you have. Maybe you found yourself in a place in life. Maybe you remember sharing the gospel. Maybe you remember going out and doing what you would say your part. And maybe there was a time in your life where you treated it more as an obligation to fill your part, to do your good deed. But when you find yourself having Christ's compassion, you find yourself having the love for souls like he has love for souls, then that obligation that you once had where you said, "I did my part," will no longer be, "I did my part, but I continue to get to do." And that obligation will turn into compassion. That compassion will turn into motivation. That motivation will turn into action, where all you want to do is continue to share the gospel. One of the greatest things was when I remember calling my good friend in Columbus, Indiana, and saying, "Are you saved?" And over the course of 2 weeks, working with that person, talking to that person, and seeing that person get saved. I don't talk to that person anymore. I don't talk to her. I don't know what she does. But I'm thankful that I shared the gospel. Many of you know I had a good friend who I grew up with named John Hunter. I've shared this before. John Hunter was deployed, I guess it was 2 or 3 months ago now. And within his first deployment, his first couple of weeks of deployment, he had gotten killed. I remember the last time I had saw John Hunter. I was coming from Tennessee. We were going to Indiana for a weekend. I remember pulling up into the McDonald's drive-thru area. And we stopped and I parked, and then John Hunter and his girlfriend parked. And I remember driving there. I remember the Lord was working in my heart and saying, "You need to share the gospel with him. You need to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to tell him about the gospel. You need to share with him." I said, "Okay, I'm going to do it." Well, John Hunter and his girlfriend had gotten there, and I never once shared the gospel with John Hunter. This was back 3-4 years ago now. When I saw and read the news that John Hunter had gotten killed in Afghanistan, my mind immediately went back to McDonald's. And ever since I read that newspaper, and ever since I got sent that article, and ever since I have been able to realize that I had the opportunity to share the gospel to John Hunter, that there's a very good chance he's in hell today. Ever since that day, I can't get past it. And I made a decision a long time ago whenever I heard those news that I'm not gonna be shy about it. I'm gonna tell people that I love, hey, I love you, but you're not saved, and I want you to be saved. I'm gonna let people know when I knock on doors, hey, I don't know you, but I love your soul because you're a person, and the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. And I don't know if you're saved, but I want you to be. I'm gonna let people know every time I have the opportunity and I talk to someone. I was just talking to a lady a couple weeks ago at the Walmart neighborhood market, and I found out that she was a Christian, and her and I were able to talk about it. I asked her if she was saved. She told me she was saved. And I was able to walk out of that Walmart knowing, hey, amen. There needs to be a desire renewed. Maybe that desire for you will come as you read the Word of God. That desire for me was rekindled when I realized John Hunter might be burning in hell. That desire came for me when I realized that I missed out on the opportunity the Lord had for me. And it was my duty, it was my part. I was a Christian and I didn't do what I was supposed to. And ever since then, I said, Lord, help me. Lord, give me a burden. Give me a desire. Bring me to tears. There are times when I'll be singing and I'll be listening to a song and I'll just break out in tears. Listen, I pray that I never get away from having a tender heart towards that. I don't want to cry every time I preach about salvation and all those things, but I wouldn't mind it because that don't mean I have a sensitive heart. And I don't mind having a sensitive heart towards souls going to hell. I want people to be accepted. I want people to accept Him as their personal Savior. And I want the Lord to work in my heart. I want the Lord to bring me to tears. I want the Lord to move me to action. To always have a desire and a burden to share the gospel. I pray that you're not getting upset with me for being direct about this. I pray that you don't get upset when I invite you to come out on soul winning or when I ask you to get a part of one of these soul winning efforts in our church every single Sunday and every single Wednesday. I pray you don't get upset about that. I'm not trying to be to push you to do something that you're uncomfortable with, but the Lord might be. I shared this with our Sunday school class. When you find yourself in a state of comfort, you're living in a state of comfort and you're saying, Lord, I got this. I can do this. But as soon as He moves you to a state of uncomfort, you're saying, Lord, I can't do this without you. And maybe this morning there's someone here who's saying, listen, if I were to go out and knock on doors, if I were to go and pass out door hangers, if I were to try to share the gospel, I just couldn't do it because it's uncomfortably good. Rely on Him. He'll give you the strength. You know, you don't have to memorize anything. Just take the Word of God with you and show them, hey, this is what the Bible says about it. Share the gospel. A renewed desire. I pray that renewed desire will be started in your life as much as it's been started in my life. I wish that the desire that is started in my life right now to share the gospel was not started the way it was. I wish that I had never found out or that it had never happened that John Hunter had passed away and that the Lord didn't have the opportunity to remind me that, hey, you had that opportunity to share with me. But He did because I didn't do my part. This morning, every single one of us has a part to do and that part involves the gospel. Maybe you have a friend. Maybe you have a coworker. Maybe you have a family member. Maybe you have a neighbor down the street. Share the gospel. Pray for that renewed desire in your life. Pray that the Lord would get a hold of your heart. Pray that the Lord would move you to tears. Pray that the Lord would move you to action. Pray that you would have the compassion that Christ had and that when you lift up your eyes and look, you won't just see people, but you'll see souls that will be spending eternity in heaven or in hell and that it'll move you to a state of life where you say, I've got to do something. I pray that would be your prayer as much as it is my prayer. Once again, I ask the question, has His prayer request hit your prayer list? Bible says in John chapter 35, or John chapter 4, verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. John chapter 9, verse 36, 37, and 38, the Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. This morning I pray with you as much as I pray about myself that we would get a renewed desire to win people.